Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Hello! Welcome back to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic. Hi, I'm glad that you're here. Today, we're going to talk about leadership in the gig economy. Let's get started. As you may know, at the Strategic Hot Box, we break things down into the learn, the love, and the kick ass. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. You're going to love it. And if you're just old news, I'm so glad you're back here with us. You're going to like today's topic. We're going to talk about this new thing called the gig economy. It's not really that new, but it's certainly becoming very prevalent. It's in our faces. It's everywhere. Several of you that are listening probably have a few gigs on the side. And we are, as consumers, definitely impacted by gigs. And we always break things into the learn, the love, and the kick ass. In the learn section, we'll talk about the topic, we'll dig in, we'll get our feet wet, you know, we'll roll up our sleeves. In the love section, we'll bring in a subject matter expert. I think you're going to love her today. She is going to share her experience of what she's done in this area and how she's been kicking ass. And then, of course, as always, we'll leave you with some ways and strategies that you can start making a difference in your life today. So business, as consumers, we're becoming, let's face it, a little high maintenance. And I feel like, as you know, as a person that's out purchasing, as somebody that's out in, you know, consuming goods, that we want things now, and we want things exactly how we want them, and we want things exactly tailored to us in this customized and perfect way. And we live in this just really gratifying and instantaneous environment, and because of that, businesses are always just searching to find ways to continue to grow. And one of the ways that many businesses are doing that is with experiential marketing. And this methodology is growing, and it's a trend of business strategy that is building faster and faster. And it urges or tries or endeavors out to directly engage the current and future consumers by allowing them to try products, by allowing them to experience the brand firsthand. And you can think of this in a few different ways. And it's been happening in a lot of ways for a long time, but of course becoming more and more prevalent. So it could be as simple as like a test drive, right? So you wouldn't want to buy a vehicle until you drive the car. But when you take test drives to the next level by having it be more of an experience in the drive. And so I know that Harley Davidson and a few other brands are doing things like that. Or it could be, you know, some sort of experience that you have, even like breweries. Has anybody been to a brewery lately where it's maybe the Heineken brewery or the Guinness brewery or some of the global breweries will have an entire, even Coors here in the United States, will have an entire experience that you're going through, where you're going through the whole process of the brew process, but also tasting all along the way. And getting to know the experience of the brand bigger than just a particular product or service. And so organizations really are becoming more transformed, evolving, and adapting to this new emerging need of the consumer. And because of that, then, there's a changing workforce. And part of this changing workforce is this gig, the gig economy that's come from that. And gig economy, for anybody that this is the first time that you maybe have heard that term, the gig economy really is surrounding the concept of an independent contractor, a person that does and completes a gig, like one little particular gig. And so it might be an artist, it might be a freelance writer, it might be any sort of independent kind of person. So it could be an Uber driver and somebody that is just doing something one time and they're in charge of their life, they're in charge of their business, and they may work for some grander organization, but only for that one particular moment. And so this flexibility that it allows the workforce is pretty amazing. And many people, gone are the days where you're just going into the cube every single day and living the kind of, you know, ring the bell and head off to lunch kind of work day. And so many people are talking about how they started this business or this idea at the kitchen table, and then they went to the garage. And then I literally had that conversation with somebody just recently that this she started making crafts or making this thing that she was doing in her house, and then it became bigger and bigger. And now she goes out and does them in these short little gigs. And organizations like We WeWork or any of those others allow these environments to happen where executives don't have to really be just stuck and you can be more free floating. But there's a lot of dynamics that happen from that. It's how do we continue to motivate the people that you're hiring? So from an organizational perspective, how do you motivate people that are in those that you're hiring for gigs? As a person that is doing gigs, how do you get more gigs? How do you get involved with organizations and get involved in the experiential marketing so you can, you know, have those relationships and continue to build your own personal brand? And all of the different things, you know, in that work within that. One experience that I've had in this realm is I worked with Aid for AIDS Nevada, and we've had them here on the show, and we've talked about a few of the events that they've had, and it was always with me from a volunteer capacity. But their big black and white party is a gala of having everybody get together and really focus on fundraising and that type of thing. But we have all the Vegas shows and artists and different people come and allow the consumers and participants in the show and the event to use the products and services. So there could be cosmetics, there could be the different shows and they're interactive, or it could be, you know, alcohol booths, or it could be food, etc. And all of them do it in a very experiential way. And all the people they hire are very gig based. And I, at first, being the event coordinator for some of those events, I didn't realize that. And so I was just trying to coordinate. I thought I was coordinating with Mac. And then I'd have people show up and say, hey, I'm a model for this. And I'm like, for what? Who are you? And I didn't, it took me a while to kind of wrap my head around how best to manage when people are in that environment, what that looks like. And yet, when you have an event like that, AFAM puts on some of the best events ever, because it has this next level of really interactive dialogue, kind of this, the whole idea of experiencing something grander, experiencing the brand of the organizations or the organizations that participate. And so brand ambassadors then are the people that are out there and become part of that. And yet, as a person that's doing that, it can be really hard to find jobs. And a lot of the gigs aren't very long term. And as a person that's leading that, how do you keep them excited? How do you keep them engaged? And then if we go back from the organizational standpoint, if you're thinking about doing some experiential marketing, how do you even start in that process? And for those organizations that are spending big portions of their budget in order to do it, how do you continue to draw and make it exciting for the consumer every single day? So there's a lot of questions that I have. I feel like more questions than answers when it comes to this topic. But the good news is we have ourselves a subject matter expert. So today we are going to talk with Ms. Patricia Barreto. She is a marketing expert. She's been doing this a very long time. She has her associates in marketing from the University of Hawaii. She's also been to the University of Connecticut. She also has a bachelor's in business administration from a university in Brazil. And I have the name of the university here, but I think to all of my Brazilian friends that are listening, I'm not even going to try. And I know that a few of my friends are really going to be sad and mad at me for not trying. But she's a project manager. She's also a certified meeting planner. And get this, she's a former pro triathlete and a level one sommelier. So she is literally got all these amazing skills, and I can't wait to hear how she's making it happen in this gig and experiential marketing front. So please help me say hello to Miss Patricia Barreto. Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And you have the most amazing smile, I tell you. For those that are just listening to our podcast today, they definitely should come to log in to watch a little bit of the video. You're brightening a room. So we urge them to do that.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your journey in this area.
I think I've been a leader since I was a baby. I was always the one that people would push to the front of the crowd to speak on behalf of. I remember in school, all those school projects in college, I was always the one that got picked to go to the front of the room and say something. I just never had a shy personality. I've always been very outgoing. So that kind of came naturally of people naturally pointing me to be in the front of the crowd. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to work, I think that just translated. I started as a brand ambassador. And when you are a brand ambassador, some situations arise that you have to think quick and you have to make a decision on behalf of the client. And a lot of times when those situations would come and people would look at each other and be like, what do we do? I would be the one who would be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You do this and that. And it just came naturally. And from there, people see it. And then you start getting invites and then you start getting more gigs, and then you move on to supervisory roles and management roles and so on. So it kind of happened naturally to me. It wasn't really planned. It just happened.
And so when you're talking about gigs and different invites, what are some of the gigs and things that you've done in your career?
Well, starting as a brand ambassador, we pretty much promote everything, right? We promote from services to CPG to places. It's pretty much about educating consumers about a specific brand. Mm-hmm. So I've worked with large brands such as State Farm. I've worked with Metro PCS. I've worked with Procter & Gamble. I've worked with the Jack Daniels line of whiskeys. I've worked with all sorts of brands you can imagine. So I feel like I've represented pretty much every consumer, every household name that if you look around, I can see, oh, I've worked for Panasonic. Oh, I've worked for Dell. Oh, I've worked for Apple and so on. So that's pretty cool. That's I definitely had a lot of exposure to different types of products.
Yeah. And how long has this kind of concept of experiential marketing or hiring people in the, as a brand ambassador been around?
It's fairly new. If you think about marketing in general, print has been around forever. I would say for the past 10 to 15 years, that's when people started to realize that the face-to-face interaction is what actually matters. We're all humans at the end of the day. We want to talk and we want to touch and we want to feel. And like you mentioned in the beginning, we are in a time of we want things now and we want things right away. And so the brands starting to realize that just printing ads out there wasn't as effective as actually making people try and touch it and feel it. So I would say for the past 10 to 15 years, that's when things start like catching up. Right. On experiential marketing.
It's really interesting you say that. And the reason I asked is in my past, I worked for Bally's Total Fitness in California, the brand. And we were a hype team, like a fitness dance hype team. And so we would go to events and be the people to be like, here, try this and do that. And I was thinking that we actually worked for them long term, and gone are those days. You know, that model, and maybe I'm dating myself by even saying it, but that model just wouldn't even exist anymore. They would have people that were more gig-based, would they not?
That's true. That is true. It's a trend. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I've noticed that there are even like college degrees and certificates that focus on that didn't exist about 20 years ago. And now people can go to college and get certifications on experiential marketing alone, which mm-hmm. is pretty cool.
That is cool. So how do you engage then if you've worked with lots of teams, and I was sharing a little bit of my experience with events and performers. How do you engage those that are part of the gigs and the independent contractors?
That is probably the biggest challenge that we have with this industry, right? They're not employed by the brand. They're there to do their work for the day or for the hour or for the week, and then they're gone. So for me, I like to empower people, right? I like to empower my team and make them understand how important they are for the big picture. They're not there just to make that extra $100 or whatever. They're there to represent a brand. So I do always team huddles. And before those events, we always talk about the brand. I like them to understand the value of the brand. That's something that's very important because that's how we can portray truth to the consumer, and people notice that. So if you're just speaking on behalf of a brand that you don't really believe, people are going to notice that. So I talk to my team about the value of the brand, how important that brand is, and what this brand is bringing to that specific target market on that event that we are, and get them excited about it. So suddenly they are now excited about be representing such and such brand, and that comes naturally. The consumers notice that. And they do feel like a part of something bigger than just like a one-time gig. So it's really letting them feel empowered and making sure they understand the value of the brand they're representing at that moment.
And that's something that can be applied to organizations regardless of how long-term the employees are. But I love the idea of team huddles as well as tying it back to the big picture. Now, have you ever worked for an organization where you were just like, I really actually don't like this company and, you know, but yet I still have to smile and be happy? We are right now checking.
Oh, there you are.
Hello. Yes. And just for anybody that's listening here on the podcast, as you know, we manage this live and right in front of you. So the connections and all these things from people, subject matter experts that are in the field making this happen, that's all part of our show. So thank you for listening and being a part of it. So what I was just saying is, have you ever worked with an organization that you didn't necessarily believe in the big picture brand?
I probably have brands that I probably haven't used, or I personally wouldn't, I would probably use the competition. But again, I do a deep study on the brand and what they want beforehand. Of course, I never take a job or an event with a brand that I just heard for the first time. So there's positives about everything, right?
Sure.
Every brand, everything brings some value. So even if it's a brand that I not necessarily use at home or my personal life or professional life, I will find a value on whatever that brand is offering. And then that, again, it's focusing on the positive, focusing on what it's good, and then passing that message along.
I love that. So it's kind of like the struggling actor early in their career when they have to do like the STD commercial or something. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get yourself into. But hey, it's the big picture, right? It's got to be helping some people somewhere. So what challenges do you face? What are some, you know, examples of some problems that you and the team are solving?
I think in this industry, it's how quick things change the day of the event. Sometimes you spend weeks or months planning an event, and we have a list of assets, and you have a footprint laid down, and then you have a certain amount of brand ambassadors or team leads working. And then the day of the event, we get there to set up and the organizers decide to change everything. Mm. Suddenly the entrance is in another place, or the stage is no longer there. And you have to think quick. You still are there to deliver the message. You still have to do what the client wants to do, but you have to work with the tools you have. So that definitely thinking fast, and it just like being able to work with what you have in a short notice. That's something that happens pretty much every time. And then because I've been doing this for so long, I kind of got used to it. I always have like my extra assets or extra people or extra phone calls that I can make. I always line those things up because I know that it can happen. But that's probably the biggest challenge in this industry, is how quick things change and you just have to make it work no matter what.
And what, from an organizational perspective, what could companies do to make the process better for those that are getting into this? So, like, as I imagine several of the companies that you've worked for, it's a better experience for you as a gig leader or experiential marketing leader, and then other companies, like some take care of their people better. What are some things that organizations should do to take care of the people?
Right. I think that that's probably the most important thing. You can spend millions of dollars in a campaign, but if you don't take care of your people, they're not going to stick around, especially if they're independent contractors, because there are several other brands and gigs that they can take. So the goal is to get them feeling, like I said, feeling that they matter. I do host quarterly trainings with my team. I do recognize top performers. I'm pretty big on praising and giving them credit for the good work they've done. And that helps. Like, I've had teams that stayed with me on programs for 3 years in a row, which is very hard in this industry, again, because people are just taking gigs everywhere. So I think it's, for an organizational standpoint, people matter. People matter. And it can be an extra hour of pay, or it can be a gift card, or it can be a recognition during a training. But people want to feel appreciated. They want to feel, like I mentioned before, that they are part of a big picture. They're not just there disposable brand ambassadors that they're just going to work and never work again. So I'm very strong on empowering my team and making them believe that they are important. I couldn't do my job if I didn't have them. Neither the brand would exist, nor their campaign would exist if it weren't the people that were out there in the field talking to the consumers. So people matter. That's how companies should see that.
Absolutely. And why should companies then, why would we urge people and organizations to look into experiential marketing if they aren't?
I think that today, again, like I said, there is no substitute for a face-to-face interaction. I know that now we are in the age of technology and WhatsApp and Twitter and whatever. Everything is virtual, but nothing would ever, ever replace a face-to-face conversation with another human being, right? We're all humans. We are all made to connect to each other. And again, nothing will, you can't make somebody touch a product through a screen. You can't make somebody smell a food through a screen. You can make somebody evoke some emotions through music when they are in an environment through a screen. So there, I think experiential marketing is what the companies could get the more ROI, the best ROI, because that's where it's directly affecting that other human being right there, right now. And there is no substitute for that. I think that's a waste if companies do not invest their money on it. That's definitely where they can get the best bang for their buck when it comes to marketing.
I love it. I love it. I'm sold. You've sold me. What was an unexpected learning that you've had in all of your experience?
I think the biggest thing I learned with all those years is that people respond to a stimulus differently. So sometimes a company can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in a campaign focusing on the visual appealing of the things, but they choose a demographic or an event where people don't care much for virtual reality or TVs. They want to eat something. They want to touch something. So all that money goes to waste because you can have the beautiful setup that is visually appealing, but that's the wrong demographic. So I think that the biggest lesson I learned with all those years is that we need to study our target market as much as we can so that we can tailor that message. And each event can be tailored to exactly what those people want to do and exactly who they are, the language they speak, the kind of activities they like to play. It's not a one size fits all. It's definitely not. So experiential marketing is a tailored approach, and that needs to be done every single time for every single event, because every single event we're going to have somebody different there.
Sure.
So that's probably the biggest lesson that I got from that.
I love that. And learning every single time is important too. I love that. So can you share a funny story or something crazy that's happened?
Oh yeah, that's actually very recently. I was working, we were activating at a UFC fight here in Arizona. And then I had this arcade game, like a punching bag where you punch and then you see how strong you are. And guys are super competitive. So we got a busy footprint. But what they didn't know is that there's a switch that is for male and female. And I switched to the female and I punched it. And I got like 950. And all the guys are like, whoa! This chick, like how? And then they start calling their friends, and suddenly, last thing I knew, we had 100 people in my area because they were so competitive. Like, God, did you see that chick? She got a broken foot, and she got 950. And I was just sitting there, like, wow. And like, whatever needs to do to get people to my booth, I'll do it. Right? They never knew. Well, now they probably would know. So the secret is out.
Yes.
But that was funny because I was like, hey, I work out. Don't judge. They didn't know that it was in the female mode. I would probably have gotten like 200 if I had punched in the guy. But hey, it got busy.
Yeah.
So that was great. And people were talking about the brand after that. So that's what matters.
It is what matters. I love that. One time I was working with AFAN and we had all of our gig people had to come in costume. And we weren't specific on the costume. They just were coming in costume. And somebody came and the event that we had was at a university. And somebody came in some sort of video game costume that included high-powered weapons. And they were fake weapons, but they came with these weapons as part of their costume, and I'm looking at this person going, no, 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 turn around before we have like the police here at this, you know, at the university. Like sometimes some of these moments, but like you said, you just have to handle it. You just got to think on your feet and just handle it. Yeah. So can you share a bold action item or takeaway for our listeners?
I think that's something that I do with my life and my career. You got to own your strengths and your weaknesses, right? We all are here to learn. And even though I've been doing this for a long time, I still learn everything every day and every event. So I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. I think as strong leaders, they are very self-aware. And I surround myself with people who are going to add greatness to my team. I know my team from like the back of my hand, and I know also my limitations. So I think it not only in experiential marketing, but in any industry, mm-hmm. you surround yourself with the right people, with people that complement your skills, and then that's recipe for success. So own your strength and own your weaknesses and surround yourself with great people, and then you're gonna be successful in anything you do.
I love that. And if people wanted to get a hold of you, how could they do that?
They can see my website. I have a portfolio that kind of shows a little bit of the large events that I've worked with, State Farm or Metro, or some events I did that are iHeart Radio. There's photos, there's testimonials. So my website is www.patriciabarreto.com. Mm-hmm. Or they can find me on LinkedIn. They can just find my name, or they can shoot me an email at patricia_8883@hotmail.com. If they want any help or any consulting, managing their brand and taking everything that to that next level in terms of experiential marketing.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for being here. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, this is Marvin Athief, social media expert from Las Vegas, Nevada, and you're listening to Brandi Stankovic on the Strategic Hotbox. So listen up. You may get to learn something new while you get to enjoy listening to Brandi. Good luck, guys.
Thank you to Marvin for that shout out. It was one of the actual original shout outs we ever received, and it's finally making its way here on the Strategic Hotbox. He's out now exploring the world. And thank you again to Patricia. It's that time. It's my favorite time, your favorite time. It's time to kick some ass. Here's your top five. Number one is understand all the roles. One of the things that Patricia shared with us, and I really believe when it comes to leading a team of people, is know what it is that they do. And so if you have to step in, step in. And that doesn't mean micromanaging. That doesn't mean not being able to elevate yourself, because guaranteed most CEOs can't do the jobs of their teams. But be aware of that. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to understand the roles. So if in fact you don't have somebody there, you can think fast. You can, you know, think on your feet, move quickly, and step in where needed. Number two is to check your baggage. Get that stuff under the plane. You don't need to have it with you. And when it comes to experiential marketing, when it comes to running an event, when it comes to just being a leader or being an overall general badass, you have to check your baggage. There ain't no time to deal with that. Anything that you have that was hanging over your head, anything that you have in your life that's just weighing you down, it's time to just check it. It's time to just let it go, because you got to focus on the now. Focus on the results of the client. Focus on the results of the event, what it is that you want to accomplish. Check the baggage. Number three is practice the problem solving. Think through the event, think through what could happen, did happen, and then after, debrief and have the pre-huddle as Patricia shared with us, have a post-mortem, a post-debrief to be able to talk about some of that and practice that problem solving. Number four is to be resilient. Above all, you know, the event must go on, even if the footprint changes, even if the entire event changes. You have to keep moving. It doesn't matter, rain or shine. Life moves on. And so we as leaders, as people that are trying to drive for success, must be resilient. And number five is to smile. I think we had an amazing smile on the show today, but the biggest learning in this is it, you know, the client at the end of the day, the consumer at the end of the day, don't care all of the issues and baggage and challenges that you've been facing. They just want to have a good time. They just want to experience the brand. And so it's up to you to make that happen and smile. That's your top five. Kick ass. Thank you again to Patricia Barreto for being here. You can find her information out on our website, along with all of our other guests. And as always, we urge you to head out to our website and give us some feedback. That's www.strategichotbox.com, or find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're everywhere. Come find us. Come hang out. Until I see you again, get out there and kick some ass.